Today's Mishnah Masechet Mikvaot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Vav, Mishnah Gimel. So, we're going to now continue on with our exploration of some of the implications of Hashaka. So, remember what Hashaka means. If you have contact between one container, not container, but one mikvah, I should say, something in the earth of let's say less than the shear, and there's a connection between it. We talked about even, you know, being tevil and things that are connected, like donkey's footsteps. Those too can be connected with Hashaka. But let's imagine the difference between a situation where we have three mikvaot in a row. Now the question is, how are they arranged? The three mikvaot are two mikvaot of 20 sa'a of kosher water, and one mikvah of 20 sa'a of mayim she'uvim. So we have shlosha mikvaot, b'zeh esrim sa'a, u'b'zeh esrim sa'a, u'b'zeh esrim sa'a mayim she'uvim. Now, where is the mikvah with the mayim she'uvim? If the mikvah of the mayim ha'she'uvim is min hatzad, and it's at the outside, so then if three people simultaneously go into these three mikvaot, they go into the mikvah, which causes the water in the mikvah to overflow. You have to imagine that these three mikvaot are themselves in an area which is lower than the ground around it, so that when the water comes out of the mikvah, it's not going to just flow out and be lost. It's going to be held in a area where the ground around it is higher. So in that case, what happens is that the two mikvaot of the 20 sa'ah piece become mixed instantly because of the fact that they overflow into each other, and then you have one mikvah that's kosher of arba'im sa'ah. When the water from the mayim she'uvim, which is off to the side, touches that water, it is now touching arba'im sa'ah of mayim kasherim, and the mayim she'uvim at that point becomes a kosher mikveh as well. And therefore, all three of these people are tahar because of the fact that we had the two mikvaot of the 20 saw piece mix first. So in that case of Yardushlo Shavet of Luvahem, and then they all mix their water, the mikvaot are tahorim and the tovlim tahorim. From this point forwards, we have three kosher mikvaot if the water stays like that. And all of the people that had originally gone in are now considered to be tahor. The two mikvaot now have 40 sa, and the mikvah of mayim she'uvim is connected to a mikvah of 40 sa. So it's all good. But let's imagine the same exact case, but the distribution was different. Haya she'uv be'emza. So we have, in fact, same three mikvahs. The two outside mikvaot were 20 sa apiece of mayim that was kosher for a mikvah, megeshamim. And the one in the middle was the mayim she'uvim. So haya she'uv be'emza. And now, same case, three people simultaneously go into these three mikvaot. So what happens is that these mikvaot do not become kosher, and nothing changes. Now, you would think that something changes. We'll explain in a moment. But the mikvaot are the same as they were before, and the people who were tevel in the mikvaot are not tahorim, and they are exactly the same as they were before this started. So hatovlim are also kemochayu. They're the way that they were originally. Because since the two mikvaot that were kosher were first going to mix with the mayim she'uvim, they never mixed directly, and we end up never having a mikvah of arba'im sa'ah. Because the she'uvim in the middle never allowed a chibur to a fully kosher mikvah. Wherever they touched, the mikvah wasn't kosher. And because of that, the people that went into them are actually still tameh. The only question is, why are they still kosher? Because what we should say is that they're no longer the mayim that was once 20 sa of rainwater is now mixed with mayim she'uvim. And if we even had shlosha lugin of mayim she'uvim that had fallen in, so then that should have destroyed the kashrus of the mikvaot that had made geshamim and made it impossible to add more Gishamim, because maybe Shlosh Shalugim of Mayim Sheuvim from the middle mikveh, when somebody went into it, had fallen into the other mikvahot. The reason that this Mishnah is correct, even though that may well be the case, is because we're talking about over here not only Hashaka, but we're talking about, remember, the other idea, which is Hamshacha. So whenever the water that is posel is not poured directly into the mikveh, but it goes over the ground, it's nimshach agabe karka, before it falls into the mikveh, albeit that may not make it kosher, but it will no longer passel if the rove of the water that it runs into is megishomi. And therefore, we do not have a case of shlosha lugin, mayim sheuvim, in our pochas mi arboim lug mikveh. A most important combination of the two halachas of Hamshacha and Hashaka. Mishnah Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalet. This halacha has an interesting continuation. It doesn't sound like it's related, but it is. It's deeply, deeply related. Because the idea that Hamshacha is actually a way around the pagam of the Mayim Sheuvim is because the concept of the Mayim Sheuvim is where the Mayim Sheuvim are naflu lemikvah. That means they had to have fallen into the mikvah. If they didn't fall into the mikvah, that was the svara for our saying before, the concept of hamshacha, correct? But there's other ways that that happens. Suppose you've got a sponge, and you've got three lugin of Mayim Sheuvim in the sponge. Now you put the sponge into the mikveh. Will that passel the mikveh because there's Shlosh Shalugin in the sponge? No. Why? Because they didn't fall into the mikveh. The sponge fell into the mikveh, but the Mayim Sheuvim never fell directly into the mikveh. They will ultimately be exchanged with the water in the sponge and so on. The same thing is even true if you have a bucket of water. So this bucket had exactly Shlosh Shalugin of water in it. Have you ever heard of surface tension? Of course you have. So when you take this bucket and it falls into the mikveh, does all of the Shlosh Shalugin, you didn't turn it upside down, you didn't pour that water into the mikveh, the water was in the bucket, and now you put the bucket with its contained water of Mayim Sheuvim into the mikveh. Is that the same as Shlosh Shalugin Mayim falling into the mikveh? No, it is not. And therefore, it's a continue. It doesn't sound like it's nogi at all, but it's a direct continuation of the previous Mishnah that makes the difference between Hamshacha of Mayim Sheuvim and Nefilah of Mayim Sheuvim. And the Mishnah spells it out. Shelo Amru, where is that halacha stated? You remember the exact language of that halacha? Quote, Shlosha Lugin Mayim Sheuvim Shenaflu. You think that's a loose term? It is not. And there was no Shenaflu in this case, and therefore everything is A-OK. Quite amazing. Beautiful new halakhas. Shall we continue? Perek Vav Mishnah Hey in Mikvaot. Now, we started off this perek talking about our Coke bottles, and the question over there was, if you've got a Coke bottle that's filled with other things, it depends. If the Coke bottle itself is needs tefillah, so then the little needles and things that you put into the thin opening of the Coke bottle are also going to be tahor, we said, because of the migo that the water is considered to be the water of the mikveh in terms of the tahara of the Coke bottle. So it's considered to be part of the mikveh also for all of the things that were inside of the bottle, and they were all considered to be tahor. On the other hand, if the Coke bottle didn't need tefillah, and you tried to put the things into the mikveh by thinking that, okay, well, I mean, what am I going to do? I'm going to put these needles, they'll scatter all over the mikveh. I'll put them into a Coke bottle, and then I'll betovel them in the Coke bottle. That's not a kosher tefillah. What would be required in order to make it a kosher tefillah? It would have to be connected with the concept of Hashaka and what's the shear of Hashaka? Kishvoferet Hanod. And remember that shear of Shvoferet Hanod is your two first fingers fit into the hole and can be twisted around. So that's Shtei Etzpaot that are Chozrot. Now, suppose you've got an enormous container that's sticking up outside of the mikveh. So you get somebody, whatever, is afraid to go into the ocean. So you make a box, very big box, big enough to hold Arba'im Sa'ah of water. But it's sticking up outside of the water on the top. So what you want to do over here is to be tevel in that box. Can you connect the water in the box, which is so big that it's big enough to be a mikveh itself, just with the Shvoferet Hanod somewhere on the level beneath the water top level? Or is it still considered to be tevila in a kli because the size of a Shvoferet Hanod in such a kli seems to be almost unnoticeable? So let's see. Turns out to be a machlokas. Hashida v'hateva shebiyam. So you took this big box, or you took a closet, put it on its side in the yam. Ein matbilin b'hem ela imkena yunikuvin kishvoferet hanod. If it's floating along on the water, you could be tovel in it, but you would have to have a hole that was under the water level that would be the size of the famous Shvoferet Hanod. So in other words, according to the Tanna Kamma, it's the same as any other kli. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, it depends which is larger. If you have a large kli, then you would need whatever comes first. If you have a hole the size of Arbat Vachim, and that comes first, or even if it's smaller than that, but it's most of the size of the side of the box, ubekatan rubo, that's considered to be sufficient. So in other words, if it's more than 8 tvachim, then it's going to need a minimum of 4 tvachim, because 4 tvachim is always the shear of a makom that's chashuv. And because of that, it would not be bottle anymore to what appears to be a closed box. If it's smaller than that, then rov would define it. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we don't use a Shvoferet Hanod when it's in a completely different container. Of course, we said before that in the event that the Coke bottle is inside of the mikveh, yes, but this is not inside of the mikveh. This is floating in the mikveh. The mikveh may be the Pacific Ocean, but the point is this box is floating in it, and because of that, it's not submerged. If it's not submerged, then I don't say, says Rabbi Yehuda, that you can use the Shvoferet Hanod the way you used it in a Coke bottle. So basically, we've had this distinction before, the difference between being tevel in a kli, let's say, right? So you can't be tevel in a kli where we're talking about the ukah. So how can you be tevel in the Coke bottle if it's a kli? So we already made that distinguishing kli in a mikveh versus a kli that is separate from the mikveh. Well, this is a kli that's separate from a mikveh. So therefore, Tainus Rabbi Yehuda, it needs to be either rov or it needs to be the choshev amakom of arba tvachim. But how about on the opposite side of the spectrum over here? You have a completely sealed thing. The problem is it's not watertight. So let's imagine a case where you've got a basket or you have a cloth sack. What about there? There the water is going to go straight through it. So the din over there, interestingly, is that if you have a sack or you have a kupa is a basket. Of course, a basket is a basket weave. It's not going to be waterproof. And you would then be able to be tevel anything in that. It doesn't matter if it has no opening. It could be completely closed. But since the water goes freely through it, mipnei she'amayim or avim, once the water goes freely through it, is considered to be part of the mikveh, even if it has no opening. Forget about the size of a shvoferet hanod. So in that case, we don't view them as a kli binogea the mikveh, because a kli binogea the mikveh has to be a kli that can hold water. That's the whole point of the mayim she'uvim. In this case, anything inside of it is just as if it's actually inside the mikveh itself. And there's another fascinating halacha that this is nogea, which is, we had before, the question of whether you have a kli that's underneath a drain pipe, and then the water goes into that kli and then overflows outside of the kli, that creates a psul of mayim she'uvim when the rainwater falls into the collection device. But in this case, suppose you want to use a basket or you want to use a cloth sack, which is a real kli, as a filter, and you put it directly under the pipe that's bringing the rainwater, and now it has this filtering effect, but it can't hold the water, that's fine. Hayunotunim tachat hatzinor einam poslim et hamikveh. Even if it's right there and all the water that goes into the mikveh goes through it, that wouldn't matter to us because it's not considered to be a kli vis-a-vis mayim she'uvim. And there's one more halacha that is going to be nogea, very much this issue. Suppose you are tovel, this is a cute situation, you're tovel a kli that has a ability to hold water, and you have a mikveh that is exactly 40 sa'. Now,
I'm trying to stop you. How do you translate matpilon otan omalim matan kedartan?
You are currently in a Barnea warp. In this case, the Barnea warp has gone forward in time. Could you please just adjust your DeLorean knobs over there? I think they got a little bit loose. And just come back here. Join us in the same time frame. Thanks. Okay. So the issue that we're... It's great having all kinds of talents in this. It's really wonderful. Put us all together and we're literally superhuman. Heck. I mean, maybe we should do some kind of money-making stuff with our talents. All right, so coming back into this local time frame, we are now getting to the piece of the Gemara, the piece of the Mishnah that Rabbi Barnea was talking about, and we're almost up to there, so if you just stand still, we'll catch up to him in time. And we were talking about what happens in a case where you've got a mikveh that's exactly Arbaim Sa. Now you want to be tevel, glass. In that Arbaim Sa, that's great. Okay, so you put the glass into the mikveh. Now you pull the glass out of the mikveh, and you're going to be putting it in your basket to take home. You just did a big boo-boo. Because when you pull that glass out of the mikveh no longer has Arbaim Sa. So you say, all right, well, what's the big deal? I turn the glass upside down, make sure all the water goes back into the mikveh. Uh-oh. You just mix shloisha lugim mayim she'uvim into a mikveh and destroyed that mikveh forever. Oh, my gosh. A disaster. Therefore, when you're dealing with a mikveh that is precisely arba'im sa'ah, never take the glass out facing upwards. Take the glass out facing downwards. Now, I know that Rabbanim may have some problem with spatial orientation as well. Well, again, if you could come back to local space, up and down would mean in the direction of local gravity. Rabbanim, we're on Earth. Okay. So, assuming that you're on Earth, which may be necessary for this to be a kosher mikveh anyway. So, assuming you're on the Earth, keep your glass facing towards the gravitational center, and that way the water will fall out of it before it gets a chance to be sha'uv. Now, that halacha, which we haven't reached yet, it is actually in the next parak, but that halacha does not apply to baskets and sacks. Ha! That's another thing, an advantage in using a basket and a sack, and that is matbilinotan umalinotan kedarkan. You don't have to be careful to keep them upside down when you were table them in a mikveh of precisely arba'im sa'ah. Lovely. Yes, it all starts to make sense eventually. You just need to have patience. Maybe the same thing is even true for life. Who knows? Have a wonderful day, everyone. And a wonderful Adar. Kol tov.